You might be familiar with the style of the Anuim community when it comes to the liturgy. We look at the liturgy as a kind of ongoing course of instruction or formation. It's very clear in Lent that every day there's an instruction on the spiritual life. It's pretty clear in Advent too, but in Easter, where we are now, it might not be so obvious because it looks like we're just marching through the Gospel of John and marching through the Acts of the Apostles. That's almost every day in the weekdays, gospel comes from the Gospel of John and the first reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles. And it looks like, well, that's just how it works. But if you look a little deeper, you can see what a marvelous, how beautifully this is crafted, because the gospel always gives us an instruction about the resurrection and how the resurrection, the power of the resurrection is offered to us, whether it by baptism, whether by the word, or especially by the Eucharist, which is where we are here, or by the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks. And then the first reading shows how that gift is played out in practice. In this case, yesterday and today, we're looking at the ministry of the deacon Philip. Yesterday suddenly blanked out there. What did he do yesterday? Oh, yes, he went to Samaria. He went to Samaria, and they rejoiced to hear the word. And today, he instructs and baptizes an Ethiopian eunuch. Okay, so that's where we are. Let's look here at this gospel. Now, I said yesterday, if you were here yesterday, I said it's a good idea this week, sometime this week, to read the whole chapter 6 of John's gospel, because it's the whole discourse on the bread of life. I tried that yesterday. You know, that's a lot. it's like eating a whole gallon of ice cream. Because it's great to eat ice cream, right? I mean, it tastes great at the beginning, but after a while, you can't appreciate it. Or maybe since we're talking about the scriptures, it's like drinking a whole gallon of wine. It's just one glass of wine, really beautiful. It gives you that sense of a richness of life. But after a while, if you keep drinking it, it's overwhelming. So now maybe that's a bad analogy for the scriptures, because it's not right to get drunk on wine, but it is good to get drunk on the scripture. So read the whole chapter, but if your experience is like mine, you can't really take in a whole chapter. And I think that reveals once again the wisdom of the church to break it up into smaller chunks so that we get a little bit every day, like drinking one glass of wine a day. That's kind of appropriate. Okay, so here we have John chapter 6, 44 to 51. Now, if you're attentive, you might notice that from yesterday to today, we skipped over a couple of verses. So we have 8 verses here. We could have had 11, but we skipped 3. And in those verses that were skipped, the crowd is reacting to what Jesus said, because in yesterday's gospel, he said, I'm the bread of life, and I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. And there, the crowd's objection is not about him calling himself bread. They don't seem to mind that, so they take it symbolically. But they do object to him saying that he came from heaven. And their objection is, hey, this guy's the son of Joseph. We know his parents. How can he say he came from heaven? So you see, their objection is about the heavenly part. Okay, that brings us to this section, these 8 verses, and I can't go into it all. Every single verse has some rich instruction involved, but let's skip down to about halfway down the passage where he, because in the first part, he's talking about being drawn by the Father, being taught by God, and listening to the Father. But let's go down to where he mentions bread of life again, since that's the heart of this discourse. He says once again, I'm the bread of life. Now, if you listen closely, he adds a little bit with every new sentence. And the bread of life, he said that before. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. Now he's making a deliberate comparison between himself and the manna. They ate the manna and they died. But this bread that comes down from heaven, it's referring to himself, that one may eat it and not die. Now this is a leap forward to say, it's one thing to say, here's bread from heaven. They could say, oh, that's, you know, any kind of spiritual nourishment. But to say that if you eat this, you don't die, well, that's, what does that mean? Okay, next step. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Well, what's living bread? That's a different thing. The manna was not living bread, right? You eat, there's no such thing as living bread. What is he talking about? Okay, came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. It repeats. Next step. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. That term flesh is the bombshell. It's the shocker. He's identifying himself as bread. That doesn't bother them. He come down from heaven. They can't understand it. How can he say he came from heaven? But now he's saying, I'm giving you my flesh. And that is that just is intolerable. We'll see that in tomorrow's gospel. So just a little preview. Tomorrow they'll react. So it's one thing to say came down from heaven. That's some kind of spiritual stuff. But to say your flesh, that's not from heaven. That's the stuff, the human stuff, right? Flesh and blood, human substance. The Greek word for that is sarx. And we actually heard this word prominently in Sunday's gospel. Remember in Sunday's gospel, Jesus, it was Easter day or Easter night, and he appears to the apostles and they think he's a ghost. Remember that? So he says, I'm not a ghost. Look at me, touch me, look at my hands, look at my feet. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see that I have. So Jesus is very insistent about his flesh. He's got a real human nature, and you can touch it. And this is what he's going to give us as bread for the life of the world. You can see where it's going. It's the Eucharist. Now, he hasn't said that yet, but he's going to say it tomorrow, and that's going to be a little too much for them to take. But for us, we're getting a little bit every day. We're being introduced gradually into the extraordinary gift of the Eucharist, which is the bread of life, and is the flesh of Jesus Christ, glorified flesh. Okay, we'll have to wait for tomorrow to get the rest, or ponder the rest of John chapter 6 to get the rest, but you can see what's happening here. He's instructing us on how he wants to give us life, eternal life, so that we will not die. Just to take a brief look at today's first reading, this gift is being communicated by Philip, a minister of the church, to a seeker, this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, it doesn't mention the Eucharist. He has to be baptized first. But since he's a man who's seeking life, for sure he'll be receiving the Eucharist in time. But it starts with baptism. Now, you might notice at the very beginning of this reading, it's on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Gaza is in the news every day. Gaza is the scripturally identified place. We now call it the Gaza Strip. And there are people there, millions of people, in desperate condition. It's a terrible conflict. It seems to have no human solution. And it's the kind of situation where we have to cry out to God for life. So that's not the main point of the reading, but it's Gaza. I mean, my goodness. You think there's no hope for Gaza? Humanly, sure. But there's no hope for an Ethiopian eunuch in a desert either. Right? He has no hope. He's a eunuch is a man with no posterity, with no future. He's a kind of dead-end figure. No hope. And he's in a desert. He's reading the scriptures. He can't understand them. There's no life to him until the Holy Spirit sends this man, Philip, just a minister of the word and a minister of the sacrament of baptism, and he instructs him, and they come upon water. Well, why there's water in a desert? That's the mystery of how God gives us life. We're all in a desert, and he provides water for all of us. We're all hungry, and he provides food for all of us. We're all spiritually seeking nourishment, and he gives us the bread of life, meaning he gives us himself. So what's given to this eunuch who seems to have no human possibility for hope, this is us. The great thing about Easter is that the very things that are making our life a dead end, sin, suffering, death, persecution, misunderstandings, rejection, all the pains of life, the very things that make us feel like our life is a dead end have been overcome already by Jesus' resurrection in the flesh. And that glorified flesh is what he gives us in the Eucharist. Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful. So thanks be to God. To be continued.